find a niche, find that niche and really stick to it. Don't be afraid to show your personality and share, you know, behind the scenes of your business and show people that, you know, you're relatable and you just like them.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 43 of Real Estate Pros, the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate professionals and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. As always, I am your host, Josh Cobb, and I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Tanya Williams, the owner of Digital Conversations, a marketing company that specializes in combining digital with traditional marketing methods. Tanya is going to share with us how to have digital conversations that grow and engage your audience. We're going to discuss how to improve your current marketing online, and we'll look at actionable tips and strategies for taking your digital marketing to another level. But before we catch up with Tanya, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Business Depot, real estate specialists, accountants, and business advisors. From startup to growth or succession, muscle up and raise the bar of your real estate business. Check them out at businessdepot.com.au.
So this week I'd like to tell you about Facebook Beacons. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with this beacon technology that's growing and growing, especially in the real estate industry, essentially what a beacon is, it sits inside whether it's an office or a house, and when someone visits that office or that house, essentially it will give them notifications on their smartphone with more information about a property. So it basically picks up that someone is within close proximity to this beacon, and it will give them more information on their smartphone. But Facebook have released their own proprietary beacon, which allows you to send people things like welcome notes and photos when they visit your office or an open home, for example. It prompts them to like your Facebook page and check in, obviously building that social currency or that social proof around your brand. They can post from your Facebook page and recommend and leave surveys about your business. So they're not shipping these beacons just yet, but you can sign up and request one for your business right now. So just jump onto Google and type in Facebook beacons. And you can type, if you're connected to your Facebook page, it'll allow you to request one for your specific business. So you do need a company Facebook page to be able to do this. But certainly some very exciting technology that might just help you with your open homes, for example, or when someone's visiting your business, to prompt people to leave surveys and reviews and recommend you to their family and friends. So go and check it out. Might be something worthwhile putting into your business. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Tanya Williams, the chief of everything at Digital Conversations. As a professional digital strategist, Tanya helps make businesses more viable by creating digital strategies and tactics using a combination of traditional and digital marketing. Tanya, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to join us.
It's a pleasure, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Well, for those who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I am chief of everything. I didn't want to be a CEO. I wanted to be a COE just to be different because I like.
I did take that off your LinkedIn profile. So yes. I wasn't paraphrasing.
A little bit differently. So of Digital Conversations, and Digital Conversations is a traditional consultancy where we work with clients to really help them bring together their traditional and digital marketing to make it more effective for them. And I've been doing that for a bit over a year, but obviously have a big background in digital as well as traditional media as well.
So your background, it's always been in the marketing space, Tanya?
Pretty much. I mean, I started out in marketing many, many years ago. We're not going to mention how many. And then from there sort of fell in love with the digital space. So in between that, I did some sales work, but that was still there was quite a bit of marketing and so forth and account management involved in that. And then I fell in love with digital and all that it has to offer. So I decided that's where I wanted to really sort of focus on with my career.
Well, looking through your website and knowing a little bit about you through our mutual friends there at Business Depot, you've worked with some pretty amazing clients and and some pretty impressive projects, one of them being the G20 summit that we had here in Brisbane. Yeah. I think it was last year, wasn't it?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was amazing. The great thing is, I mean, I worked on the team with Brisbane Marketing at that to pull together the digital innovation and technology stream. So we had speakers from all over the world that were part of that. We had live feeds going out on CNN and all sorts of stuff happening. So it was pretty amazing. We had Alexis Ohanian that we beamed in live from New York, who's obviously founder of Reddit. And the other highlight was Cy Lau, who's the president of Tencent. So we actually had him here on site. Wow. With his entourage. And it was, you know, it's amazing. The amount of knowledge and the new ideas and stuff that were on one stage were just awesome. So it was a great event to be part of.
What is it about digital marketing? And I know you've got a background in the more traditional marketing methods, but what do you think it is about digital that is so special and why there's such a push towards digital these days?
I think, well, firstly, I mean, everything that you do from a digital point of view can be measured. So that's from a marketing perspective, great, because you know exactly the sorts of what results you're getting because you can measure everything. But I think it opens your audience up so broadly to such a that global market. Which I think is really exciting when we live in that that world now where we do have sort of we do global business. And it's really quick and easy to do as well. So, you know, regardless of what digital channel that you're using, we can, you know, get stuff up really quickly, make it happen, get a result from it very, very quickly. Whereas, well, I suppose a lot of traditional stuff, there's longer lead times. So, you know, you think of things like newspaper ads and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it takes time to have all that happening, whereas you can change or put a landing page up in a matter of minutes.
Yeah,
I think that quickness of it is something that really appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if we sort of give some context to the real estate industry, I know a lot of agents who still use print. They still pay for exorbitant amounts of money for ads in the Courier Mail and the Sydney Morning Herald. And for a very specific market, that still works. That it still works for, you know, the prestige property and that sort of thing. But there's a lot, I guess, from a digital perspective, it's evergreen, right? Once you publish something online, it's there. And if you run an ad in a newspaper or a magazine, for a newspaper, the life cycle of that ad is essentially 24 hours and it's gone. And it no longer has any presence, so to speak. So
that's right.
I get what's some other things besides the obviously the measurability of the marketing efforts. Why else do you think digital has been pretty popular, and you know, obviously with the changing trend in consumer behaviour, but why else do you think?
I think that it makes it easy to engage with your audience as well. I think regardless of what channel that you are using, whether that's a social media channel, whether you've sent out an email to someone, you know, whether it's your website, whatever that might be, people are very information I suppose overloaded with so much information these days. So digital allows people to be able to filter through what they need and what they don't need and pull from what they need. And as a business owner, the great thing about it is you can dissect and filter out the information that you want to get to that audience as well. So you really have some control over that. And I think the amount of information and communication that we can put out there as a business on a digital channel is quite different to what we can on a traditional channel. And I suppose the other thing is that those costs are quite different as well. I mean, you mentioned, you know, a full page newspaper ad can, you know, cost, you know, 10 grand, you know, yeah. $10,000 in digital. I mean, you can get, you know, so much bang for your buck for that. But I mean, I just certainly don't discount the power and the value of traditional marketing at all. And that's why we talk about traditional as such, because it's all about combining the two to leverage them and make them work better for you in conjunction with one another, not as separate entities, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, can you help us understand what is traditional? What does it mean?
I mean, traditional is basically a combination of your traditional and digital marketing. So it's a way to leverage both, across your business so you get a stronger ROI and be a bit smarter about your marketing spend. So I think most people think it needs to be one or the other, and how they use them is quite different, whereas they forget that regardless of what you're doing, traditional and digital marketing are both just platforms for a message at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So when they're planning their marketing activity, they need to be thinking about how the message fits across all the different channels and how their audience is interacting with that. And I think some of those really basic things is what a lot of businesses get wrong, as they think, well, I have to have this in my newspaper ad and I have to have this on my website. Mm-hmm. And what often happens is there's a total disconnect. So from a consumer point of view, they see something in a newspaper ad, will go to the website, there'll be no mention whatsoever of that particular message. So then they go, well, hang on, is this the same place? Is it different? Like, I'm getting different messages. It's confusing. So I think that's the – I mean, just getting those basics right is where a lot of businesses can actually start.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, something we do quite oh, in the very early stages of consulting work as well, Tanya, as I'm sure you do as well, is work out where an audience is for yes. a particular business. And
yep.
if I can share a story with you, and I'm keen to get your feedback on this as well. We were working with a particular business down in quite an affluent suburb of in Sydney's real estate market, and she said, look, we want to be on social media. And our first question to that is, as most why? Digital marketers say, is exactly is why do you want to be on social? Well, we think we need to be. She didn't say we need to be. She said we think we need to be. Mm-hmm. But very, very quickly, we discovered that her audience they don't hang out on social media. It's yep. not where they spend most of their time. Mm-hmm. And the people who are going to be pulling out their wallets and paying them to sell their property or manage their house are not the kind of people that are on social media either in that particular suburb.
Yep.
So she's gone down a very traditional marketing method of print. Mm-hmm. and offline marketing. And we even talked about the possibility of her opening up a coffee shop in her local market, which is just right out there, right?
Yeah.
But basically, I guess my question for you is, how important do you think it is for real estate businesses before they do any marketing, whether it's print or digital, to find out where their audience is? And the follow-on question from that is, what's the next most important thing they need to figure out once they know where their audience is spending their time? What else do they need to consider, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely knowing and understanding your market is the first thing that anyone should be doing. And I have this conversation a lot with clients where exactly, just like your example, we think we should be on Facebook because everyone else is on Facebook. And it's just like, well, that is not the reason for you to be spending time and resources actually using it. So
yeah.
I think doing that research, and I will often work with clients to create personas to say, well, let's really clearly define who your audience personas are so we can really dive down and know exactly what digital channels that they're using, because exactly their audience may not be in a particular channel. So I think that's the first piece that businesses, I think they just neglect it because they don't think it's that important or they don't understand it. And I have many conversations around that and say, let's get this basic stuff in place first, because you can go and spend a lot of money on marketing thinking that you know where your audience is and what they want from you, and that can be all wasted if you're not talking to the right people on the right channel, as you know. So I think definitely spending some time to do some research, and that doesn't mean that you have to spend ridiculous amounts of money. I mean, you can do simple things like, you know, surveys on, digital surveys, or just asking people, or using social media as a research tool and asking people what sort of information that they want. I mean, there's so much information accessible these days for free, or you can obviously engage someone to do some of that for you. I think the next thing from there, to take that sort of second point of your question, is what happens, what I see most often, and you're probably the same, Josh, as well, is people are just overwhelmed by the amount of choice they have. So they just think, oh my God, I have to do, four different social media channels, and I have to do an EDM, and I have to write a blog, and I have to do a podcast, and I have to do this. And they overwhelm themselves by the amount of choice that they have. And I think first thing I say to people is, let's just bring it back to basics. No, there's nothing to say you have to do all of that. Again, once you know your audience, you'll know what channels you need to be using. So a video blog, for example, may not be suitable for your audience, so therefore you don't need to go down that track. But I think starting with the basics is the most important thing, and having those foundations and then building them from there. So, having a good solid website that has all the key information on it. You know, if social, channels are important, look at one or two that may be the best for you, or look at a blog or whatever. But one of the things I try and sort of talk to clients about is pick a channel and own it before you start doing too many different things. So, if you know your audience is on Facebook, focus on Facebook, have a strategy around it, know what content you're putting out there. Don't get distracted by having, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, and all the rest of it. If you know that that's where your audience is, do it and do it well. And a good example of that is actually, I don't know if you know Sherry Storer. who's a real estate agent here in Brisbane. She does an awesome job of that. She has a great presence on Facebook. People know her for it. She does videos. Like, she really owns that space.
Yeah.
And she's really positioned herself in a certain way to really become known by her audience. And I just think, instead of she could try and do 10 different things, but she just focuses on the one thing that gets results for her and where her audience is. And I think that's a really good example.
Yeah, I like to think of this process of building those buyer personas, and we do a lot of that as well in the very early stages. And I like to think of it when a real estate agent or a business owner is saying to me, look, Josh, we just haven't got time. We just need to get it out there. We just need to do it. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of it as slowing down to speed up.
Yes.
And I think it's so, so critical that we spend time doing these things. I'm preaching to the converted here, I'm sure.
I agree with everything that you're saying.
Yeah. So I've just found it. Well, here on my computer, I've got a buyer persona of a particular business we're working with in Canada at the moment. And she's an individual agent who runs her own business. And the business models are a little bit different in the US and Canada to here in Australia, but the process is still the same in terms of building these personas. And we discovered she's an animal lover. Her and her husband just got married. They're massive animal lovers. And the city where they live in Canada is very much an animal-friendly kind of city. Everyone's got dogs. Everyone's got animals that, they all hang out. They talk about their dogs. It's quite a thing, a big thing in their town. So we built this buyer persona of her, the person who is going to have this agent as their representative when they're selling their house. And she came up with the name of Ali, the animal lover. So we even gave the persona a name. She's a female professional, medium high job position, whether it's a psychologist, a vet, an accountant, someone like that. We age them in their mid-30s, so 35. Ali is, 35 years old. She's innovative. She loves being a leader. She's social conscious. She's got a social conscious business approach. She enjoys having that work-life balance. So we start to think of this person as a person and not a piece of business. And so how important is that, do you think, to really sit down and identify someone as an actual person? And how clear do we need to get it in our minds?
Yeah, so important. And I think this is the thing, and I often talk around this to clients as well, is, I think whether you're business to business or business to consumer, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's people to people marketing. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with people. And these days people have always wanted to do business with people that they like and can relate to. But I think it's even more important these days to really stand out and go, well, this is unapologetically me and who I am, and this is the culture and the vision for our company. And I think brands need to understand how to find that uniqueness, I suppose, and how they can leverage on that. And I think exactly that. You do people-to-people marketing and really defining who someone is, so that becomes a point of difference. I'm an animal lover as well, so straight away I'm just like, oh my God, like I would want to do business with her because I could so relate to her just on that level.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. If you can find those key things and remember that you are dealing with people, yes, it's a business and there needs to be a certain level of professionalism, but at the end of the day, you are dealing with people. And I think really understanding them will make a huge difference in terms of the results that you'll get with your any sort of marketing campaign that you do.
A lot of agents would think, well, look, if I'm going to go down that niche, whichever you'd like to say, that's kind of cutting people out from, I also want to target the white collar workers or the blue collar workers or whoever it might be. So if I go down this path of Ali the animal lover and all my marketing is speaking to that person, aren't I really cutting out the rest of the market or people that I could potentially work with as well? What do you say to that?
Look, not necessarily. I think if you're probably cutting out the people that you probably don't want to be working with anyway. Yeah. So I think the thing in creating that niche is it really helps you find your ideal client. And I think that's part of that development process, is thinking, well, who is my ideal client? Who do I want to be working with? And having that persona of going, well, it's a mum, dad with two kids, it's this, like whatever that persona might be. Then having messages that can relate to that can help you attract that right type of client as well. I think what happens these days too often is people try and be everything to everybody, and you just can't. Like, you have to go, I think it's okay to have some slightly different audiences. I don't think you have to have just one market, but I think you'd need to be very clear on who those markets are and then what channels you make, because maybe you communicate with them on different channels. Mm. There's nothing to say that you have to have correspondence across every single channel for the, you know, for one audience, you could say, well, this audience, we're going to, you know, we know that dog lovers are on Facebook, so we're going to be, that's going to be our main driver and messaging on that channel.
Yeah.
But we also want to, you know, maybe there's a market for cat lovers, for example, and we know that they're on, you know, Twitter or whatever it might be. So I think people, it's great to know what everyone else in the market is doing, but at the same time, I think at some stage you need to sort of make your own rules to a certain degree as well.
Yeah, no, look, I completely agree. There's an agent up in Brisbane at the moment, a property manager, who specialises in finding apartments or houses in the area around the airport for pilots. Virgin Australia have moved their head office up to Brisbane, as you probably know.
Yep.
And she specialises in finding rentals for pilots and airline staff. That is her niche. And that's the only client she works with, that's who she markets to.
Yeah.
But what I'm told is she's finding all these other people are fascinated by her specialisation in that area, that she's getting all sorts of people to come and talk to her about finding them an apartment or a property to rent. So yeah, it's fascinating. When
personality around what she does, isn't it? She's just not a real estate agent. She's, you know, a person who does this, and this, and that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of real estate professionals are probably overwhelmed with the, like you said, the amount of opportunities available to market their business online. Tanya, where do most go wrong, in your opinion, or where do we start, do you think?
I think, again, it comes back to starting with the basics. I think really the first thing that they should be doing is understanding their audience and really knowing, you know, who they are, what they like doing. You know, do they like going out to cafes for brunch on Sunday morning? You know, what are the things that drive them? What are they passionate about? You know, what channels are they using? Are they big tech lovers? Are they looking at, you know, websites about particular topics? Like, just really understanding the sort of the behavioural and the psychographic and demographic pieces that sit underneath it, and a lot of that just comes by doing some research. So I think really getting that, knowing that, and then starting with the foundation. So let's go, and I think from there, just testing and saying, well, let's just dip our toe in the water with this particular market, for example, and let's just put some stuff out there, see what sort of feedback we get, and just sort of go from there. I think that's the great thing about digital, is you can do that. You don't have to invest massive amount of money to do any sort of market testing. You can do it fairly easily. And fairly cost effectively. So you can start to say, well, hang on, I'm getting some traction with this. This is probably a really good market. It's resonating with people, or my message is resonating with people. And I think what often happens is people want to literally, as you said, they want, oh, we need to get stuff happy now. And they want to dive in the deep end. And then they dive in and then go, oh, hang on.
Doesn't work.
A little bit here.
Yeah.
You know, let's get back to the shallow end. And I think that's probably a good way of sort of thinking about it as well.
Yeah, well, there's you might be familiar with Hazley Cush at Ray White in New Farm, Tanya, who
I have heard of. Yes,
Hazley and Matt Lancashire over there, and I remember Hazley. We had him on one of the very early episodes of the podcast, and he was telling us a story about when he first got an iPad, and he just started filming little market updates for himself. And he noticed on the iPad, just below where the record button is, that there was a button saying publish to YouTube. And he thought one day, look, I'm just going to hit this button and see what happens. And down the rabbit hole he went. He now produces one of those. I think it's monthly. I could be wrong. It could be weekly. So forgive me, Hazley, if you're listening. But yeah, it's not scripted. It's very raw.
Yep.
And it's just him in front of an iPad giving his thoughts on the local market. Hazley is just a great storyteller, a great entertainer, a super, super operator when it comes to real estate. But yeah, he just got started. He hit that button, published to YouTube, and away he went.
And sometimes that's what you need to do. You know, I mean, I remember the first time, you know, I heard about Twitter, and I was like, what are all these hashtags and at things? Like, what does all this stuff mean? And I thought, well, the only way I'm going to learn is to get on there and give it a go. And that's what I did. And I think that's the thing with anything in that sort of space, that is, you know, you educate yourself to a certain degree and understand it, so you know how to use it better. And exactly that with video. I mean, I love video. I think it's an awesome platform for people to be using. I do a lot of video content. And that's the thing. It doesn't have to be perfect and perfectly produced and cost thousands of dollars. A lot of the time I will, you know, sit with a camera in front of me and just talk, you know, and then just maybe add a top and tail to it just to make it look a bit fancier and stuff. But I think people like the fact that it's quite relatable as well, and it isn't perfectly produced, and I stuff up, you know, every now and then when I'm talking and stuff, but then people can see that it's real, you know. So I think I think that's a good place to start, is just do it, just give it a go sometimes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone would disagree with me when, let me put it this way, if I was to ask someone, would you like less technology or less means of having to market your business? I'm sure the answer, the consensus overwhelmingly would be yes, we would like less technology because it's harder to manage all this stuff, which goes back to your point of just picking one channel, one message, one audience, and starting there and then, you know, sort of building it from there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, take us to today, Tanya. What are you working on right now that's getting you excited?
What am I working on right now? I've got a couple of small projects on the go, and I'm actually really excited about one of our new products that we've put out there called Hire a Digital Concierge for a Day, where we're letting, you know, where we're putting out there where people can just hire us for one day. I think what we've seen in some of the research that we've done is people can be reluctant to commit to, you know, 4 or 5 months of a particular thing. So we've done something a little bit different and really simplified what's out in the market and said, well, you know, if you just need help for a day, we can offer that service to you. So, and we do whatever they need done. So for what they know exactly what it's going to cost them at the end of the day, we agree beforehand what needs to be done in over that, you know, that 8 hour period. And then we just go off and do it for them. So it makes it really easy. They engage just when they need us, rather than having to commit to anything long term. They know exactly what they're going to get, and it's totally flexible. So I've been doing a lot of setting up some of the marketing channels and stuff for that at the moment. So that's probably one of the biggest projects that I'm working on. And then the other thing is we're heading off to New York in a few weeks. So
exciting.
Very, very excited about New York. I love it over there. And I'm actually going to be doing a bit of a digital campaign while I'm away, which is going to be called Digital Downloaded. And we're going to be blogging and sharing a whole heap of different things out on our social channels, just educating what's happening from a digital point of view over in New York. And one of the interviews that I have set up, which I'm really excited about, is with a company called Normal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've heard of Normal, who do custom-made earphones, but it's all done with 3D printing. Which, I mean, that stuff just blows my mind. I just think that is just awesome. So I'm actually going over there and talk to them about what they're doing with that. And they've got this massive store set up over in New York. And so just, yeah, I mean, there's so many great things happening overseas. And I think it's great to be able to showcase that and bring that back to educate our market to say, well, this is what's happening overseas. We know what happens over there generally filters down under. So I'm really excited about those two things actually. So they're my focus for the next couple of weeks, really.
Oh, that's exciting. Very exciting. I think it's happening more and more here in Australia specifically, Tanya. A lot of business owners and are sort of venturing outside of Australia. I think it's really exciting. I had over 30 Aussies with me at Inman Connect in San Francisco just a couple of weeks ago, and it's so exciting to see so many people going outside of Australia and bringing technologies and ideas
it's
back.
Awesome, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It is really cool, and I think you can get very stale very quickly in your thinking if all you're going to do is look at how your competitors are doing it, or how someone in Perth or Sydney or Melbourne is doing it.
And I think the thing is, people don't often look outside of their industry either. They go, I'm just going to look at every other real estate agent and what they're doing, rather than going, well, hang on, what's happening maybe over in the medical industry or the retail industry, or, you know, something else that's really cool that we can then apply to our industry. And I think that's something that I would like to see more businesses doing as well.
No doubt. Well, Tanya, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers.
Sure.
But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from Bright Local's latest annual consumer review survey. It found that 88% of consumers trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations from family and friends. 9 in 10 consumers read online reviews to determine the quality of a local business, and 39% do so on a regular basis. So my question for you is this: how easy are you making it for your prospects to find out what other people think about you? I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Tanya, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm ever going
to
be.
Fantastic. Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Oh, wow. One person. That's really, really hard just to put it to one person. I'm a huge fan of Richard Branson. I think he is amazing in everything that he's achieved over the years. I mean, I'm also a big fan of Juliana Rancic and Bethany Frankel overseas as well. I think they've done some awesome stuff. But on a local level, I suppose, I'm inspired constantly by other entrepreneurs that are doing things that are a bit different in their space. I mean, the first person that sort of comes to mind is John Knight from Business Depot. We both know John, but I love the fact that, you know, as an accounting firm, they are doing something that's different and stands out, and they're not afraid to say, hey, we are who we are, and be unapologetically them. And I think that's really awesome. I have a lot of admiration and respect for people who can do that.
No doubt. Well, that's four people, so that's a record for that. Now, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Oh, that's easy. Relaxing by the pool with a good book and you know, maybe a glass of wine as well.
Well, that's a great segue into my next question. What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Okay. I really enjoyed Unprofessional by Jack DeLosa. I think that was good. The other one I'd like to also mention is Naked CEO by Alex Malley. I wish that I had my hands on that book when I was 18, but unfortunately it wasn't around then. But yeah, there's two that I would definitely recommend reading.
What is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
Look, I am a little bit obsessed with Canva
for
content design.
Yes.
No doubt you will be all across Canva. Use it constantly for myself and also for clients' content pieces. But I mean, at the end of the day, I can't get by without Google or my laptop or my phone. Without any of those things, I don't know how I'd survive. So,
well, for everyone listening who doesn't know what Canva is, I'll let you take the reins and describe what it is.
Sure. Canva is basically an online portal where you can go and create all sorts of content. So it's all set up so you choose exactly, whether it's a Facebook ad, whether it's a blog heading, whether it's an EDM header, an A4, like whatever it might be. It's all preset with the right sizes that you need. There's backgrounds you can choose from. You overlay your own text. You can put your own imagery in there if you want. So it's basically a free content design tool. There are some that you might have to pay like a dollar for.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing. It just makes it so easy to create really professional looking content for nothing.
Well, I'm not sure if you're familiar with their new product Canva for Work, Tanya. Yes. I don't know if you've had it. Have you had a play with that?
I'm waiting for that to be released. So I've signed up for it and I'm getting some bits and pieces fed out to say, well, this is what's going to be available, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, super, super cool.
They've taken the research that they've got, the surveys and research that they've got, and said, well, hang on, we need to refine it a bit more, and they're listening to that, which is awesome. And the great thing I love about Canva is they actually have really good customer service.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're Australian-based business for everyone listening, if you didn't know that already. But essentially Canva for Work, I have had a little bit of a play inside the tool. It is amazing, and I think graphic designers should be a little bit worried. I think the ability to create your style guide for your business has never been easier. You can pick color palettes and build that out and really set the tone for anyone who's creating content or graphics or designing for your business. It's essentially a reference guide for them, everyone's got on hand. It is quite an amazing tool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Tanya, if you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
I think we've sort of already touched on this, I suppose, during our conversation, and that's really find a niche. Find that niche and really stick to it. As you know, as we've spoke about earlier, you can't be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, you know, don't be afraid to show your personality and be afraid to, you know, and share, you know, behind the scenes of your business and show people that, you know, you're relatable and you just like them. I think that's one thing that people think, oh, you know, I can't show, you know, certain aspects of what happens behind the scene, but people love that stuff. You know, they really eat that stuff up where they're going, well, that's nice. I really understand your business better and that makes me want to work with you. So I think, you know, finding the niche, sticking to it and don't be afraid to show who you are.
Well, Tanya, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
I don't know that I have a quote as such. I mean, my personal mantra is never let anyone dull your sparkle. And I think that sort of rings true to anyone who is in that real estate industry, because I think that really it's all about, you know, be who you are. And, you know, you don't have to be like every other real estate agent out there. You can really find something that makes you different to everyone else and you know, and stand out and from that busy, you know, crowd. I mean, it's a very competitive space. There are a lot of people doing it, but you know what? I don't often see people doing it differently. And I think there's a huge amount of opportunity and potential in the real estate market for people to start to think about how they position their brand and really stand out in the market. So I think – And I always say to people, I'm never going to let anyone dull my sparkle. You know, I am who I am. I'm not going to apologize for that. And, you know, that sort of will attract the right type of clients that I want to work with as well. Just like, you know, real estate agents, you know, they want to have the right type of clients, not, you know, those, you know, whether they be the time wasters that will come and look at 20 houses with no actual, you know, interest at all in buying from them, you know, whatever that might be. But I think, you know, be unapologetically you.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Tanya has kindly shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcasts. Well, Tanya, I think we've only really scratched the surface. And
I know, we could talk all day about this stuff, right?
We definitely could. And on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice. I know that people are going to really enjoy the content you've shared. How can everyone get in touch with you or find out more about Digital Conversations?
Sure. Well, obviously they can head to the website and there's information there. I am all over Twitter, so digital_Tanya. And they can also connect with me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. So, you know, just search for me on social and you'll find me.
Tanya, it's been a real treat. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Josh. Pleasure.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.